To understand Elijah's plight, we have to back up and remember his backstory. For years, Elijah has been large and in charge. He stood before Israel's wicked king Ahab and declared, "As the Lord God lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." He has been large and in charge. He cried out to the Lord over the dead body of the son of a widow, and the child was revived. He sent for and gathered all of Israel to meet him at Mount Carmel for a showdown. Elijah was the only prophet of God left. Queen Jezebel was the hostess for 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, providing them with food and sleep. And there at the Mount Carmel, two bulls were sacrificed, butchered, and laid on wood, and Elijah challenged the prophets of the false gods. "You call on the name of your God. I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, that one is God." Well, the prophets of Baal and Asherah got their bull, and they had their bull laid out, and they called, and they shouted, and they hollered, and they cried out. But there was no answer. There was no fire. And then it was Elijah's turn. And his bull was there on the altar. And he said to the people, "Take these four jars, and fill them with water. And pour them over the bull and all over the wood." So they did. And then he said, "Do it again." They did it again. Then he said, "Do it again." So they did it again, and water ran down over that sacrifice and over the wood. So much water was all around it that it even went around and into the trench that was built around the sacrifice to contain the fire. And then Elijah prayed to the Lord, and fire fell and consumed the bull and the wood and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up every bit of that water that was in the trench, and the people fell down, and they worshiped the Lord. And Elijah had the 850 prophets that had been living with Queen Jezebel seized and killed. Our scripture picks up this morning when King Ahab got home and told Queen Jezebel what happened to her friend prophets. She was angry. She swears that by the end of the next day, she would do the same to Elijah that he had done to her prophets. Afraid, Elijah dismisses his servant. He can't imagine needing him anymore. And he takes off into the wilderness. All day, he trudges through the sand and the heat with no shade. And as night falls, he sits down under a broom tree, which is like a desert shrub, some kind of probably a relative of a juniper tree. And he sits down there and he's had it. "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I've had it, God. I have tried and tried to lead your people. I have tried to bring your word to them. I thought surely that once and for all the display at Mount Carmel would drive out all doubt that you are the one true God. I have stood up for you. I warned for you. I explained for you. And now you know what, God? I am worn out. I am tired. Jezebel wants me killed. I just don't have the energy to fight back." In the 1970s, American psychologist Herbert Freudenberger coined the term burnout to describe the consequences of severe stress and high ideals in the helping professions. Elijah was burned out. Like a building that has been ravaged by fire, the structure is still there, but the insides are charred and empty. And just like Elijah, we have all been there with various degrees of fire damage. When we begin to burn out, we start like Elijah to compare ourselves to other people, to our parents, our siblings, our coworkers, and we minimize our own accomplishments. Listen to Elijah. "I am no better," he says, "than my ancestors." And then when we're burning out, we start to exaggerate our problems. "I am the only one that is still faithful to you, God," says Elijah. "There's nobody else. And they want to kill me." Now, in reality, Elijah has just reminded all of Israel of the power of the one true God in the showdown at Mount Carmel. And there is only one person out to get him, and that's Queen Jezebel. And she sends a messenger to tell him that she's so angry that she's going to kill him. Now, you know, if you get a message from somebody that says, "I want to kill you," that likely they're trying to scare you and not actually kill you, right? It seems to me that if Jezebel had wanted him killed, she would have sent somebody to kill him. When we are burned out, we compare ourselves to other people. "No better than my ancestors." We minimize our accomplishments. "I haven't done anything. They still don't believe in you, God." And we exaggerate our problems. "They all want to kill me." And then we give up on our dreams. Elijah has had it. Done. He is beyond singed. He is completely burned out. And he prays that he might die underneath that broom tree. And he lays down and he goes to sleep. He has no strength left. But God doesn't accept his resignation. God provides food and water, and for 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah makes his way through the wilderness to Mount Horeb, to the mountain of God. And that is the good news of this story for you and for me. God doesn't accept our resignation. There is restoration after burning out. And it starts with taking care of our bodies. Elijah laid down and he went to sleep. And provided for him were water and food. We need rest. We need water. We need food. And then God asks, "What are you doing here?" In order to heal, our wounds need air. And Elijah vented. "I tried, God. Really, I did. I tried. I worked hard. I sacrificed. Nobody appreciated me. And now they want to take it all away." When we have had it, the first step toward healing is to take care of our bodies, to rest, to rehydrate, to eat good, nourishing foods. And the second step is to ventilate our wounds, to share with God the tale of our woes. Reverend Rick Warren says of Elijah's exchange with God, "God wasn't shocked by Elijah's griping. He wasn't shocked by the way that Elijah felt. When he said, 'God, I am angry and I am bitter and I am depressed and I am lonely,' God wasn't surprised. And God didn't say, 'Now, Elijah, you shouldn't feel that way.' God listened. God knows your feelings better than you do. God made you. God wired you up. He just wants you to understand your feelings, and by talking them out, you start to get in touch with what you're feeling and what you're thinking. And God just says, 'I'll listen as long as you want me to, until you run out of words.' And then God says, 'Go, stand on the cliff. Elijah went out on the cliff and the winds blew and the earth quaked and the fire burned. And then in a still small voice, not more than a whisper, Elijah knew God's presence with him, calling him out of his cave of hiding and back into the world to serve. You ever find yourself muttering, I've had it? Be honest with yourself. Are you getting enough rest? Are you drinking enough water? Are you eating what your body needs to stay healthy and nourished? Start there. There are apps that'll help you keep track. They're really great. You can ask me about them. Or ask somebody to be your accountability partner. And then open up to God. You might sit down and just write God a letter. Or maybe stand in the shower and talk out loud. Or go for a walk or a run and let out the bitterness and anger and the hurt and the frustration. Give your burned places some airtime. And then, like Elijah, go stand on a cliff. Get in nature. Go out and walk and watch as the mighty Mississippi rolls by. Drive out to Pinecrest and wander for a day in the woods. Stand on the beach and watch the waves crash, or hike up a mountain and look out at the land below and realize that God is God and you are not God. That's the good news. The winds of life will blow. The earth will quake under your feet. The fire will burn and you are going to get burned. And in a still, small voice, not more than a whisper, you will know God's presence with you, calling you out of your cave of hiding back into the world to serve. Amen.